course, the crowd wants Reed to go for it. Wouldn't be surprised if he did on fourth down and one.
So, anyways, with that, time's yours.
Welcome to Fourth and One. No, Nick Jacobs, the time is yours.
Is it?
I mean, we're here together in the podcast studio saying words about Chiefs. I know you say I do most of the talking, but I don't know. I want someone to do a study and break down who's more chatty on the podcast.
Don't give me a challenge like that, because the odds will not be in your favor.
I am skeptical that I come from
a TV background. Okay, you come from a newsprint background, so you have to be more in depth. And in our private phone conversations, you do wander for about
I call it quite some time. I call it onion talking,
and then you get upset with me when I'm like, "Hey, Todd, get to the part where you know the story ends."
Yeah, well, or the part where I can hear you snoring.
That should be a hint to you that you better have more entertaining stories about that.
I think my stories are fairly entertaining, and so, most of them aren't safe for the podcast. But
yeah, that's for sure. All right, so Chiefs podcast time.
Yeah. Training camp's over. We are steaming toward the second preseason game at Pittsburgh. We're going to try to do kind of a little bit of a roster breakdown. This seems like a good time to do it. The Chiefs have packed up. They're heading back down I-29 from St. Joseph.
I think they already did. They normally leave really quickly after that final.
It looked like Byron Pringle and somebody else were actually running back, though, which... So those guys, their availability may be in question if they're actually run 75 miles back.
They were actually going the direction towards the field, if you've been in that parking lot before.
So they went the wrong way?
Yeah, no. So it's going to be a little bit for them.
Oh, man. Somebody get those kids a GPS.
Tough break.
All right, but let's start with the offense. I think that Patrick Mahomes and Chad Henne are going to make this roster. It's a hot take. But I'm convinced. I know in your first roster prediction, you only had those two making the roster.
Yeah.
Has anything changed in your opinion, after the first preseason game or now that you've seen a little bit more of how they're using Chase Litton and Kyle Shurmur?
Only thing that's going to change for me is that I think Kyle Shurmur is going to be the one they put on practice squad now. Chase Litton's a better quarterback, but he's not getting the reps in practice that they used to give him last year. It's kind of a Joel Stavi situation where he's getting like four to six of the final reps during team, and that's a wrap. Shurmur's getting more of those. They're evaluating him more. I mean, you could argue that they know what they're going to do with Litton, or they've seen enough to know what he is and isn't capable of versus what Shurmur. It's more of an unknown, and you're getting a ton more tape and reps on him. So it could end up working out where Litton time keeps the practice squad spot more than likely. But right now I'm expecting Kyle Shurmur to get that at this current midterm time.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, too, because at Pittsburgh, because Andy said that the first team's going to play the first half, and then the backups are going to go in for the third quarter. Yeah. Fourth quarter, he's going to get the third string in there. So I think based on... we saw in the first preseason game, Kyle Shurmur got a lot more reps, a lot more snaps, a lot more action than I expected him to. Mm-hmm. Just keep an eye on that. If it's that case again, I think that portends good things for Pat's kid. But the quarterback situation isn't one of the more intriguing position battles in camp.
Pat Shurmur's kid, not Patrick Mahomes' kid.
Breaking. Sorry. Pat Shurmur, New York Giants coach. Pat Shurmur, he has a son, played football at Vanderbilt, now plays for the Chiefs. His name is Kyle. Anyway, let's hear from Kafka, from quarterbacks coach Mike Kafka, talking about that battle for the third and fourth quarterback spot.
I was very pleased with how they went out and performed. I love Kyle. He came out and stayed aggressive. There was a few long foul balls during the game, but I loved his mentality when he came off to the sideline. Chase, I thought, responded well to an early interception, came back with a great touchdown drive. But I love their approach, and I love the way they competed, and I'm looking forward for them to continue to do that.
That was Mike Kafka talking about what he sees from the third-string quarterbacks, the guys battling for maybe that last roster spot or for maybe a spot, one of those 10 spots on the practice squad between Chase Litton and Kyle Shurmur.
Yeah, I fully expect still that it's going to be Shurmur, but like Mike Kafka said there, that he saw that he brought the positives out with both of them. He liked the bounce back from Litton, obviously, and then Shermer. He liked his aggressiveness. So it's going to be the top battle to see, because, I mean, one of them is likely situating themselves to be Chad Haney's replacement next year.
Well, and look, based strictly on physical skills, do you think this is much of a competition? Or should it be much of a competition?
I don't see both being up to Henny's level yet, and you want to see that so that you can kind of reduce some of the budget next year in 2020 to be Patrick's backup, but I haven't really seen that yet. I haven't seen either guy really grab the opportunity.
All right, let's talk a little bit about running backs. You know, this is a situation, unlike quarterback, this is a situation that's been dissected a lot more during training camp. And so let's just start off. Let's just hear from Dylan McCullough about the running back situation and kind of see what he has to say about where he sees the roster at this point.
I feel real good about the group. I mean, felt great about it last year. Feel very, very strong about it this year with just the depth that we have. We can put any of those guys out there and they can have success. You got guys with some different skill sets. You know, Damien, who kind of is a do-it-all. Carlos, who is really coming into his own, is a guy that can run downfield routes and make plays. Darwin, who you would think is a smaller jitterbug type guy, but, man, he's strong, packs a punch, can protect, can run routes, and can run the ball. So, you know, feel real happy with what we got there. And obviously Durrell, who can kind of do everything, you know. So we got a nice mix in there, you know, and a full committee of guys that can go out there and help us win.
All right, so that was Dylan McCullough talking about the running backs coach for the Chiefs talking about the position. Look, we know Damien Williams, sorry, is set there. They have not moved the linebacker over to the running back. They did move Tre'Mond Smith over there. Is it telling to you at all, one, that you don't hear Tre'Mond Smith mentioned at all, and two, that Darrell Williams is kind of an afterthought thrown in at the end?
For me personally, I've always kind of felt like Damien's going to be the one, and then it's kind of between Hyde and Darrell Williams for that for the more power back spot. I personally still don't think Hyde makes this roster. He might end up making it, and people will tell me in my mentions that they were right. I was wrong.
I'll be the first one.
Yeah, you probably will be. So that's still a possibility, but I mean, Darrell is able to play special teams. Hyde not. Not so much. So what? if I'm in that regard, I want the players that can play special teams and be more versatile for the roster than a player that I personally think Hyatt's kind of at the end of what he's capable of career wise, and there's just not a lot of speed there, and there's just not there anymore.
Well, and look, the unfortunate reality is that the expiration date on NFL running backs is pretty short, and Carlos Hyde just maybe passed his. I mean, I think running backs more than any other position in the league tend to stick around fewer years in the league, and that's just a product of the beating that they take. And Carlos Hyde's obviously taken a beating at previous stops. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I kind of tend to agree with you that, I mean, you talked about the money with Chad Henne, and obviously it's not as pressing this year as it would be going forward. But, I mean, if you can save some money and you can get a player who's better, I don't know why you wouldn't want to do that. I mean, I'm sure, you know, $500,000 may not seem like a lot to the Hunt family, but I bet that they still value that money. So another position that's got a fair amount of conversation about it is wide receiver. I think, can we agree that Sammy Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson, Tyreek Hill, and Mecole Hardman Jr. are making this roster?
I don't think that was ever going to be a disagreement.
All right, so those four guys are safe, which leaves two more spots. You know, you talked about the importance of special teams. Dave Tobe absolutely loves Marcus Kemp. You got to think that that's a guy that, you know, Dave Tobe is going to, you know, maybe pound a knuckle on the table for a little bit. You know, so you got to think that he's probably getting one of those, the fifth spot, yeah?
I mean, personally, if I was in Brad Veach's shoes, Byron Pringle, to me, he's been okay this camp. I haven't seen the same explosiveness that I saw last year, and I'll be curious to see what he does in the final three games. Kemp, I don't really see as a fast receiver. I don't see a lot of upside as a receiver. I understand he can play multiple positions, but I don't If he makes it, it's because of special teams and his ability to play multiple spots, but I just don't see a development there long term that this guy's going to be one of the better receivers in the league that you really need to lock in your roster. I think if Cody Thompson can figure out a way to show his value on special teams, I feel like that's somebody more I'd like to develop, or even Rashard Davis. Like, that's another guy that I think speed-wise is somebody I'd like to see developed. I mean, Garrett Dieter, who knows when he's coming back and what's going to happen there. So, I, as of right now, it looks like Pringle and Kemp is kind of your fifth, sixth spot overall.
I mean, what do you think that, whether it's Thompson, whether it's Rashard Davis, what do you think one of those guys, or maybe somebody else down the roster, but those seem like the next two guys, you know, those seem like 7 and 8 receivers right now, if you're discounting Garrett Dieter, because he's been out for basically all of camp with back spasms. What do those guys need to show you at Pittsburgh, or show you against San Francisco, you know, whatever, between now and August 31st, for them to bump, whether it's, you know, Marcus Kemp or, you know, Byron Pringle off this roster?
They got to show good route running. They got to catch the football, make some plays, and refuse to be denied a roster spot. And I mean, Pringle was really, really close last year, especially in that fourth preseason game. But I mean, Davis, if he gets a chance to be a returner, he's gonna have to be dynamite. Thompson's gonna have to be really good on special teams, be dominant to where you can't lose him. And then again, they're gonna have to figure out a way to get open and get the quarterback to throw in the ball and make some plays that you're like, we got to keep this because another team's gonna take it away from us if we don't.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. You know, those guys are not just showcasing themselves to try to make this roster. I mean, they're trying to make another roster, too, or stick around on a practice squad somewhere, you know, because that's, you know, it's underrated. But every year you see guys who have a year on the practice squad and then make their way into the league. So, anyway, one of the things interesting, you mentioned that Marcus Kemp can play multiple positions. Greg Lewis, the wide receivers coach, kind of hinted at why that's important for the Chiefs when they look at, like, kind of building this roster. Let's hear from Greg.
I think everybody out of the 13 people we have has a different skill set. It's our job to understand what that skill set is and utilize it properly. But everybody here needs to learn every position that we have. That's our role with the offense and with the receiver. So you can play X, you can play Z, you can play inside. You have to know everything, and everybody's done a good job of understanding that.
And that was Chiefs wide receivers coach Greg Lewis talking about, you know, the way he's approaching it. And look, I think the Chiefs have 8 or 9 guys that could be on an NFL roster. So there's going to be some tough cuts to make there at that position.
Well, you're hoping, and even if Davis and Thompson or Kemp or Pringle, depending on those 4 guys, you're hoping all of them show up and do a good job. So you have an opportunity where a team wants to trade for one of them, and you could maybe get a position of need at corner, tight end, or running back, or maybe there's a third quarterback that you really had your eye on that you would like to develop. And so, I mean,
or at least collect draft picks, because we know how aggressive Brett Veach likes to be in kind of packaging things, moving up for guys that he likes.
So, I mean, you're rooting for a lot of guys to have some strong preseasons.
Tight end, another position that's drawn a lot of scrutiny. Travis Kelce, maybe the best player in the league. I think he's in line for another big season, you know, especially when you look at the way that offense should be able to stretch defenses and give him a little bit more room to operate underneath. Some of the guys, I mean, you got to double team Tyreek Hill deep. So, I mean, that's going to give some matchups, some favorable matchups, you would think, to Travis Kelce. So, looking forward to a great things from him if he can stay healthy. We've seen it before. Do you think at this point Yeldor and Bell, one of those guys definitely on the roster, and then, you know, maybe one of them may make the roster unless a better option presents itself still?
I still personally see Blake Bell as the number 2. I think he's the better athlete, and I think he's the better complement to Kelce and for Mahomes. Mahomes' arm strength and how Bell could do some damage as the number 2 tight end. I feel like he's just athletically superior compared to Yeldor. Yeldor obviously played 15 snaps on special teams, so they're really trying to figure out a way to utilize him and get him on this roster. I see Yeldor as potentially the number 3 right now, and unless a better option becomes available, then Bell could become the 3, and that person maybe becomes the 2 down the road as the roster moves on.
And, you know, when you look at last year's roster, Demetrius Harris is one of the guys who played a lot on special teams. And so it was eye-opening to see that Yelder played as many snaps as he did on special teams in the preseason opener. We'll see whether they get Blake Bell involved in special teams a little bit more or whether Yelder continues to get a lot of special teams reps. If that continues, I would think that Yelder's probably going to be that's a strong indication that Yelder's probably going to be on the team. But with Lovett's injury, I mean, that pretty much is a wrap on
that was the last question you had, was what Lovett could or couldn't do.
Yeah.
And with the shoulder issue and him being in a sling this week, you're probably figuring that ends in an IR situation if he's not back on the field within a week or so.
And offensive line, I think the starting group is set.
Yeah. Yep. Wiley's going to be your left guard. Ryder's going to be your center. And then your right guard's going to be Duvernay.
Yeah. And then, of course, you got Fisher and Schwartz at the tackle spots.
Right.
Depth-wise, where if anywhere, do you see the position battle shaping up here? Because, we did see, for example, Nick Allegretti start getting some second-team reps at center this week and things like that. He's a guy that they like. He'd been working primarily at guard. Jimmy Murray didn't have a great game in the preseason opener, and you saw Allegretti. They wanted to see what they had there in him and see if he could handle the job at center. So where do you see the position battle shaping up here over the next couple weeks for the guys in the trenches there?
Yeah, I mean, Irving's going to be their number one off the bench pretty much at any spot. Overall, I'd prefer they get an offensive tackle that they could, a swing tackle, more a guy that's athletically more built for it. I think Irving's more, if I was putting him a spot, I'd put him at right guard starting there if I could. But I think he's going to be their backup swing. And then, obviously, Nick Allegretti is bumped up to where I think he's going to be their center and maybe an interior offensive lineman in general, just be depth for that spot. I think Khalil McKenzie and Ryan Hunter are battling for that final interior offensive lineman spot in that regard, to where I think those two it's potentially going to decide where they do or don't go with that. And Pace Murphy's a guy that I'd really like to see on the practice squad. I think there's a lot of promise there.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that Jimmy Murray's days are on this?
I think
on this roster number.
I think whenever he got bumped down, he's really going to have a strong three games to maybe be able to get a roster spot to where maybe he can knock out Ryan Hunter or Khalil McKenzie for one of those opportunities. But I think Murray is another guy that you probably put back on the practice squad again
if you can get him through.
Yep.
Do you think we haven't really talked. We've talked about maybe tight end being a position or cornerback being a position where they look to kind of churn the bottom of that roster, and find somebody who gets cut to get a little bit better there. Offensive line, the tackle. I mean, obviously Cam Irving got signed to a longer term deal, but do you see that as a swing tackle type as a possibility of somebody that could, they might churn that roster and Hunter and McKenzie's spot could still be in jeopardy?
I think if a tackle became available, I would anticipate them looking, at least evaluating it, if it's an upgrade over Irving, to where they could move Irving back inside as maybe depth overall. So I wouldn't be surprised if that opportunity becomes available, if they went after it.
You know, a lot of people talk about camp as being the dog days, and Mick Schaefer on air today was pretending like he was, shedding fake tears about how training camp was done. But Patrick Mahomes doesn't seem to mind camp. I mean, I think he treated it a little bit like it was his Texas Tech days.
Yeah, we had a mattress up on someone's door so they couldn't get out of their room. So it's just stuff we do. Ivy. We had him locked in his room, so yeah.
All right. Hey, you guys stay locked in here on 4th and 1.
It's your time to shine. Join me every Sunday night for Sunday Sound Off, an interactive sports show where we put you in our starting lineup, answer questions, voice your opinion, sound off with our panel of experts.
Sunday Sound Off, sponsored by TDR Auto Plaza.
Good morning, everyone. It's going to be a beautiful day today in Kansas City. Clear skies, no chance for rainfall, and the heat is building.
If you're heading on out to the pool, it is just fantastic out there. An 8 outside index, perfect 10.
We
know Kansas City.
We love telling the stories of Kansas City.
Well, it's not exactly any one thing, and we couldn't do it without our reporters on the streets.
Behind these doors here at MCC.
Big flashes of lightning as well.
We hustle. We dig.
We bring you the important stories you won't see anywhere else.
So how many diapers are you giving out a month?
There is a difference in the morning. Watch us, and you'll see.
41 Action News, clear, complete coverage.
41 Action Sports with Mick Schaefer. Clear, complete coverage.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. Guys, I put a mattress against the door to make sure Nick Jacobs couldn't leave between after the A block. We still want you to talk defense, big guy. You
okay
with that?
Fine. Fine.
All right.
Think I can move that mattress, do you?
Let's not get hurt. That's all, you know. We're still in preseason. No injuries. That's all we want.
Fine.
Right?
I didn't want to anyways.
So we saved the best for last in talking offense, you know, and waited for the offensive line discussion to the end. But we're going to start off. We're going to go defensive line early on the defensive side. Frank Clark. Going to make the roster, obviously. Any concern, though, that he has been missing a lot of time with this wrist injury?
No, and I know he was back out at practice on Thursday, so I'm not too upset about that aspect of it. So they had him back out there on Thursday for the final day of practice. And
it was really just a 10-10-10, though. I mean, it was a glorified walkthrough, right?
Yeah, I mean, it is not a strenuous practice in terms of physicality, but it's great for conditioning. So, yeah, no, I mean, he was back out there. I'm not too worried about him.
Does he need to play in the preseason? Do you need to see him in this system to feel comfortable with what you're going to get heading into Jacksonville, or if he, you know, kind of, if you don't see him against Pittsburgh, if you don't see him against San Francisco, is that fine with you?
I'm not upset if I didn't see him or Patrick Mahomes at all, just because, I mean, or Tyreek or Kelce or some of those guys, like I wouldn't care if they're out there or not, just because the preseason's about finding out what depth you have and some of the and giving the other kids players chance to develop, some of the younger guys. So when you're on a legitimate Super Bowl run like this team is, if there's guys that you want to keep from getting hurt, I'm not upset right now about if they're not on the field for preseason. I don't care.
Yeah, and at that point, you just hope that like nobody runs into them with a cart or like a water jug doesn't fall on the back of their leg or something. You know, but much safer.
Than Devin Bush running on a blitz at him. Yes, that'd be safer.
So defensive line wise, mm-hmm. I mean. Where do you think, I mean, so you've got, you've got Chris Jones, you've got Alex Okafor, you've got...
Emmanuel Ogba.
Emmanuel Ogba, Frank Clark. Xavier Williams, is his spot safe? He's another guy who's missed some time with injuries.
We'll see. Whenever I'm putting the defensive line together, obviously...
Derek Nottis, he's a lock.
Yeah. So for the most part, I mean, your top four, obviously you're going to have, like you said, you're going to have Okafor, you're going to have Nottis, you're going to have Jones, you're going to have Frank Clark. Behind that, you're going to have Emmanuel Ogba, you're going to have Breland Speaks.
And then Colin Saunders.
So at that point, we've already named off eight, if I remember correctly. Should be eight.
Seven or eight, yeah.
Somewhere around there. And then I personally... For the most part, the guys that I think are left at that point that you're kind of wondering about. Oh, and you can say his name, Jeremiah.
Jeremiah Atauchu.
That might be it. I don't know.
I think it's Atauchu.
Yeah, but he's another one that you're keeping as a rusher in that regard. You may put him at linebacker for part of that special teams, but he's one of the versatile rushers that you definitely want to keep as well.
Keeping him over Tano.
Here's the thing I'm going to say about the next few guys. Passanio, I think personally what I would do in their shoes, I don't think he's a guy who can convert speed to power as a rusher, even with the arm length that he has. I don't see him being a very good bull rusher. I think he's more of a finesse guy. So if there's a way you can feature him right now to maybe go get a corner or maybe go get a corner of need, I would try to feature him as much as possible right now. Run him with the ones if you need to. I don't care.
So you think this has all been a smoke screen?
I'm just saying if I was in their shoes, that's what I would do. I would feature him and showcase him to the best of his ability.
Try to convince John Dorsey that he's finally reached the summit.
Yeah, let Dorsey give you a corner for him. That'd be good.
He's gonna give us back Terrence Mitchell though.
Hey, Mitchell at least has experience in the league. And Xavier Williams, I think that's another guy that you kind of hope can shine, and if you can utilize him to maybe get an offer or something. A guy that I was actually really impressed with was Joey Ivey. That's actually a guy that I would make the eighth or ninth defensive lineman on the roster. And then Rob McRae, he's another guy that I would mark down more practice squad.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be some really good guys, well in camp who get cut. And there are some years where the Chiefs' defensive line has been dragging the bottom of the barrel, and they've been terrible.
Yeah, defensive line is their strongest position on this football.
Yeah, this is not a position where, barring some ridiculous cut, this is not a position where you expect the Chiefs to be churning at all.
Mm-mm, no, this is a position where you're trying to see if any team wants to take maybe three or four of the guys that you're going to move on from and say, hey, do you want to make a trade?
And when we talk about trades like that, if you're wondering why would a team trade for a guy that's probably going to get cut, it's the same thing as like last year when, Dallas wanted, help me out with the...
They wanted Parker Anger. And they got Travarius Ward.
Yeah, and they got Travarius Ward back because the Chiefs, Dallas wanted help there, and they didn't want him to get away. They didn't want to have to bid for him on the free agent market. And same thing, the Chiefs wanted Travarius Ward. But you see that all the time where if there's a player that a guy really wants, whether it's Jordan Lucas and the Chiefs made a trade to get him off the Dolphins practice squad or off the Dolphins roster last year in camp, there's always trades like that where you make it to give yourself cost certainty in terms of acquiring, the asset in terms of a player that you want. And so that's why, like you talk about, if you can convince a team that Tano Passanio is going to help solve their pass rush problem, a team that gets an injury here in week two of the preseason or something, and you can get a fourth or fifth round pick out of him, you're going to take that.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, for you're looking at teams that are probably somewhere past, if you're looking at the draft order, you're looking at guys past 12 to 32, and you're hoping that one of those teams that's kind of on a playoff run needs some depth here, or teams that think they're on a playoff run that need a guy here or there, that they're like, hey, I don't want to go through waivers and have the five or six worst teams pick up all these guys, so I'm going to leapfrog them, and that may be through a pick, or they may have some conversations with some other teams and be like, hey, I've got this. Do you have anything here? And those conversations, I think, are probably going to start happening in the league after week two, and they'll start – you may see some activity probably there at week three, and especially week four by that Thursday.
Well, and it's rare to have major blockbusters at this point in the season.
It's not blockbuster.
This
is depth or development.
But the only time you have that is if there's guys in contract holdouts. There aren't a whole lot of them. I mean, Melvin Gordon's a guy who conceivably could be traded, depending on where that's going. Washington has said that they're not interested in dealing Trent Williams.
That is their way of saying more.
You'd have to overwhelm him for an offer, and I don't know anybody's going to come do that at this stage of training camp for him. But
Texans might.
Well, you would have think. Anyway, moving on. Yep. Linebackers is a position, that I think that they've got a lot of versatile pieces. I think they're going to be okay there, but I don't know. I mean, I think we really, that's the position where I think we've really got to see when the rubber meets the road September 8th in Jacksonville, whether this linebacker group is any good, if they're, or whether they're maybe even above average, below average, where they land. What's your assessment of the running or the linebacker group right now? And I mean, look, Ragland, Hitchens, Damian Wilson, they're all staying. We know that. Sure, yeah. But beyond that, what's your sense of this group?
Yeah, I think Darren Lee's kind of he's the fourth guy there in that regard to where, I mean, I think he can play multiple positions, got great speed, playing in contract year, so he's given everything he's got.
Good coverage, which is an increasingly important.
Mm-hmm. So he's got all that. Ben Neiman, I think, is kind of the fifth guy right now. And Coverage-wise, he's not going to be elite by any means, but I think he's a guy that could be strong on special teams and help you in that regard. And then I personally still think Dorian O'Daniel is probably the sixth best guy overall, but I also, Jeremiah, I'm going to say Itachu, but I'm not 100% sure.
Itachu.
Yeah, I was close. So, and I think he's kind of the seventh guy where he maybe could play Sam for you if you need to, but also could be a situational rusher. And so I kind of think that's how it's going to work out. Now, Raymond Davidson's a guy that maybe he could sneak in on a spot. I think there's some potential there, but if there's a way you can put him on practice squad, I want to give him another year to develop with the scheme if he can.
Yeah, especially since you changed schemes on him, let's hear real quick from Matt House about, similar to Greg Lewis, wanting his linebackers to show that versatility.
I think just continued improvement. I mean, the obvious things, tackling, getting off blocks, all right, pre-snap, post-snap communication, and then getting off the field on third down and being great in the red zone and great in turnovers.
So he just wants his linebackers to be able to do everything.
Yeah.
All I want you to do is be great on third down, create turnovers, and never miss tackles. So,
well, at least they always have something to strive for.
So, I mean, that's what you want from your linebackers. Is this group capable of getting it done? The group that
I like the group that they have. I don't think there's any addition that really needs to be made to that spot.
Moving on, you probably feel the same way about the cornerbacks, right?
Yeah, no, they got some work ahead of them.
Yeah, I mean, look, Breland going to be on the roster. Mm-hmm. Assume Morris Claiborne's going to be on the roster, but may not be a factor until mid-October, because he's going to be suspended the first four games. Although, I guess I haven't heard that the appeal has been denied, or I don't even know if he's still appealing four-game suspension. But, we don't anticipate him being a factor until probably mid-October, because even after he comes back from the four-game suspension, he'll probably need a little time to get up to speed, get himself in game shape. But you figure those two guys down the road, once you get to the Chargers game in November in Mexico City, Mo Claiborne and Bashaud Breland are going to be factors in that cornerback mix.
Yep.
Charvarius Ward, is his spot on this roster safe? Is anybody else's spot on this roster safe?
I think right now you're kind of hoping Kendall Fuller can kind of...
I forgot about Kendall. Kendall's fine. Kendall's not going anywhere.
You're hoping he can start to make a difference here and that he can showcase some of that speed and ability that they traded for. But it's a contract year for him, and he's going to have to really show some improvement here soon. Charvarius Ward, I mean, he's the best of what you have in outside corner depth at this time. Now, if there's an opportunity to go get a player that could replace him, that can find the football better and has a little bit more comfortable nature when playing zone coverage, then I think you got to at least evaluate that aspect of it. I know DeMontre Wade had some opportunities, and he's got a bruise right now. And that's another guy that I think you're potentially looking to replace if you can. Then the final two, Mark Fields, I think, Sam Madison mentioned if he could if they can help him improve in zone over the next couple of weeks, it sounds like he's got a really good opportunity, and he's very competitive, capable of playing outside, inside, so I actually think there's promise to make the roster there. And then Fenton is another guy that I think has a chance as well.
Yeah, and especially when you see guys they've invested draft picks in, they don't tend to give up on them easily or quickly. I mean, generally the guys who get drafted end up on the roster. So,
in the safety position, I feel like it's kind of really set in stone. There's only, for the most part, you're gonna have Tyron Matthew. You're gonna have Juan Thornhill. I think Sorensen's still gonna make the roster. I think Lucas is there. Armani Watts, and then I think that's gonna kind of be your safety group. I don't think you need to make an addition in that regard.
Yeah, no, that's a pretty stout group of five.
That
safeties.
And linebacker and D line are actually all in comfortable positions. Corner's the only spot if you can find some depth or if there's another person out there. You do that, and then you kind of roll. In terms of Andy's, you roll with what you got.
I got to ask. I mean, look, they have a little bit of salary cap space right now that you didn't anticipate them having. Mm-hmm. They're going to go play in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Steven Nelson's a guy that they let walk. Yeah. When you look at the cornerback situation now, would you feel more comfortable if Steven Nelson was back on this roster?
No, he couldn't find the football. So
Charvarius Ward can't either, but he's cheaper.
Exactly. That's a part of it, and he's still got a chance to develop. Steven Nelson had already had enough time to develop to where. Here's the thing I'm gonna say. for cornerbacks, they can either find the football or they can't. And ideally, you want cornerbacks that have some kind of baseball background if you can, because in that regard, they're used to having to find a ball and having to adjust to it accordingly, especially if they played outfield or second base or short, to where they're used to adjusting accordingly to it. So if you have guys that have that background, they're normally good at tracking the football. So it's a skill set that, honestly, you kind of have or you don't. So I think that's really more what the league is struggling to find, as guys who have the background that are capable of doing that.
Let's hear from Sam Madison about the cornerback situation.
They're learning. They're getting it. And like you said, I mean, when you look at our whole secondary in itself, everybody is young. I mean, you have Breland 6 years, and you have Fuller a couple of years, T5, Tyron a couple of years, but everybody else is 1 or 2 years. So really just getting them to understand how to be professional, but yet still come out here and do it on a consistent basis over and over. And that's one of the things that we're harping on and trying to really get them to understand, because we only have 16 games. It's not like baseball, basketball, or hockey or anything. We have to be spot on every single play, and just trying to get them to get out of that college mentality and get into the NFL mentality and just being able to apply it every day.
That's Sam Madison, new cornerbacks coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, chastising his players for college mentality. Nick, I know you've always got a professional mentality.
I don't feel like he was trying to do that, but okay.
Well, he's saying they need to get out of the college mentality, you know, and they need to hit the ground running here. I know you're a guy who values a professional mentality.
I do. I like professionals that are professional.
Which is why it's such a mystery that you're still doing the podcast with me after a year.
I don't know, man. It's in the contract.
Wait, they gave you a contract?
No, they didn't.
You know, Mark Fields is an interesting case because he's a guy I think we've kind of gone back and forth on about whether he deserved a roster spot, whether he was going to make a roster spot. It sounds like he's moved ahead of Herb Miller and some of the other guys Herb in the process.
Herb Miller's a guy that I actually want to see on their practice squad. I think there's something to develop there with Herb. Old Herb. He's actually young Herb.
Now, we know an old Herb. This is not the old Herb.
I know. It's not Herbie. I miss Herbie. Hope he's having fun in New Orleans.
Well, we talked a little bit about, special teams being such a key, in determining who's going to get those final, 5 to 7 roster spots, whatever it ends up being. The special teams, frankly, is a reason why a guy like Tre'Mont Smith is still in the conversation as possibly being the carrying an extra running back and sticking around, because he's got elite return skills. He brings something to the table that can be game changing that not every other player can find. But let's hear from Dave Tobe, the master of special teams, on what he's looking for in those special teams players.
He's got to be smart. He's got to be fast. I mean, fast is probably very, very important. Effort has got to be there all the time, somebody that transfers the classroom onto the field. I mean, that's what we're looking for.
Well, if fast is a requirement, then I would think somehow Tre'Mont Smith is on the roster.
We'll see. I mean, if he's there, it's for special teams purposes, because it's not going to be for cornerback or running back right now.
No, and that much is clear. But but we know from years past that Andy will give Dave Tobe a spot or two if he's that passionate and that insistent that they need this guy on, he can help them win football games.
Yeah, and like we talked about, I think we've kind of talked about the guys that you're kind of using the potential pendulum
Marcus,
swing on.
Yeah, Marcus Kemp guy.
Now, the one we haven't talked about is the Jack Fox, Dustin Colquitt alleged battle.
Look, calling that a training camp battle, is like comparing the video documentaries I used to do as a 10-year-old to, Taylor Hemness's work when he went to East Texas and like met with Patrick Mahomes' dad or found there's no comparison is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
sir.
I'm sure there wouldn't be.
Dustin Colquitt is going to be on this roster.
Yeah, and what I will say is Fox has great hang time, and I mean if he's kicking it straight on, he can boom it.
Yeah,
I think directional kicking, he's still a work in progress.
Yeah, no, and look, I mean he's. I think Jack Fox is a guy who can play in the league at some point, sometime. I don't think it's going to be for the Chiefs this year. All right, Nick, that about covers. Is there any other position that you want to dissect right now?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay, then let's take a break.
41 Action Sports with Mick Schaefer. Clear, complete coverage.
Cutting the cable cord? 41 Action News is now on Roku. Search KSHB. Add our channel and you're set. All of our newscasts stream live. No other station in Kansas City can say that. Get clear, complete coverage on 41 Action News now on Roku.
We don't just report the stories. We find the stories. Getting the answers you deserve every day, every night. 41 Action News at 10. Clear, complete coverage.
It's your time to shine. Join me every Sunday night for Sunday Sound Off, an interactive sports show where we put you in our starting lineup, answer questions, voice your opinion, sound off with our panel of experts.
Sunday Sound Off, sponsored by TDR Auto Plaza.
Welcome back to 4th and 1, Nick. It's preseason football. Mm-hmm. I know you were very excited for preseason week one, seeing football being back.
Mm-hmm.
Does your excitement diminish?
No.
Week by week? I mean, nope. is it a little bit less because it's like, yeah, or the fact that you get to see Patrick Mahomes for half a game, do you get even more excited?
No, I get excited. I get excited seeing the football no matter what.
All right. Well, now I know on days that you're down in the dumps, I'm just going to get a football and put it in my desk, and then I'm just going to bring it out, and I'm just going to like wave it in front of you and make you happy.
Okay. Well, I don't think it's going to work, but I mean, you know, it's definitely worth a shot.
Hey, what do you want to see in Pittsburgh besides no injuries? We already covered that. We already covered that. Bubble wrap on Patrick Mahomes. Fine, we're all cool with that. But what else do you want to see in Pittsburgh?
I want to see Darwin Thompson kind of build off what he did last week and kind of see if he can push himself to the number two spot. I want to see the quarterback battle get better overall, just in terms of one guy kind of takes the reins and showcases what they're capable of. Receiver wise, I really, 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 really want to see Rashard Davis make some big plays. I'll see Cody Thompson shine, and I'm curious to see what they can do. Defensive line, I just want to keep seeing them wreak havoc overall. And I want to see a cornerback make me more comfortable about them actually not needing to address it. What about you, Todd?
That it? Look, I want to see. I want to see a little bit more from Colin Saunders this week. I thought he was one of the guys I was really looking forward to seeing last week, and I want to see some growth from him. I want to see him really put a stamp on things and say I am a guy who's capable of being a rotational player. I am a guy who's capable of making plays. You know, and then I want to see the wide receiver. You know, like you mentioned, is anybody going to, you know, push Marcus Kemp or push Byron Pringle for one of those last spots? Because I don't think either one of those guys has taken the 5 and 6 wide receiver positions by the throat and said, this is mine. You know, I mean, I think there's still an opportunity there to do something, you know. And so whether it's Cody Thompson, whether it's Rashard Davis, who you mentioned, or whether it's Devin Grayson, you know, I mean, I would like to see somebody step up, you know, like you talk about with cornerback, wanting to see somebody be able to play zone, be able to identify the ball. I would like to see, you know, somebody step up at that wide receiver position and take it by the throat.
All right, Todd, if that's all you got, it's time for Check the Tweets.
Are we not going to hear from what Eric Bieniemy wants to see?
That's why I tried to segue it.
All right. Check the Tweets. Is that... I'm very confused, Nick. What is this Check the Tweets you speak of?
It's a thing we do, so we're gonna do it.
Okay.
First one's gonna be from Evan. Name one surprise cut and one surprise keep for the 53.
I don't know. I mean, don't hold me to this, but I would say, I don't know how much of a surprise it would be, but I'm less optimistic that a Tauchu is definitely going to make this roster. So I'll go with him. You know, he is a veteran guy, but I think there's some other players that can fill some positions. I think part of it also depends on whether they can trade. A surprise keep, let's just say it's Tremont Smith for now.
All right, Molly Salt asks, how much of the talent that won't make the roster will Veach be able to flip for picks or players?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're ever going to be able to make more than one or two of those trades. You know, I mean, so I'll say two. If we set the over under at 1.5, I'll take two. I'll give, I don't, like I said, not going to be blockbusters, but I think maybe he'll get some assets for a couple guys that are on the roster.
All right, Todd. That's all for this edition of Check the Tweets.
And that's all for this edition of 4th and 1, Nick Jacobs. Do you have any regrets about this episode or any additions, any pointers for me?
No. We'll look forward to the challenge of the next podcast, and then we will review the tape, and we'll go over some of the finer points we can work on technique-wise for you.
Sounds good. As you all know, Pittsburgh, good football team. We hope you enjoy watching your old Chiefs play them on Saturday, and I think we're gonna come back and we'll drop another podcast after that game, right?
Sunday evening, the regular time,
right?
Regular 4th and 1 channel,
right? So you have that to look forward to. That's what I'm telling you. Like I know that you're sad that this episode of 4th and 1 is ending, but you have something to look forward to at the end of your weekend or early next week. Say goodnight, Nick.
Bye, or goodbye, Todd. Nick.